What's up, everyone? You're listening to Sincerely Angie Podcast, and I'm your host, Angie. Thank you so much for tuning in, and welcome to my little gumbo pot. Please be sure to rate and subscribe wherever available, and don't forget that you can download any of your favorite episodes for offline listening. You can always find any information needed on today's episode in the show notes. And for further info, such as social media handles like Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, you can visit SincerelyAngieM.com. Dear self-love. Hey, you guys, it's Angie. Yes, this episode is a week late and a dollar short, but if you tune in to the end of this episode, you'll see why I did not record or did not post a new episode on Monday. But we're here now, so let's get started. We're talking about self-love. So on Instagram, a couple of weeks ago, as a matter of fact, I think it was April 1st, I posted a picture of me on a calendar that I made last year. And one of my ex-coworkers, she said, "You are the definition of someone who loves themselves. You should do an episode on self-love." And I said, I'll add that to my list of things to do. And since we're all quarantined and we're spending time either by ourselves or with our loved ones, I figured now is the best time to give my tips and or pointers on how to learn to love yourself. We're going to get right into it and not going to keep you all very long today. I have been really pushing out some content. You'll have to check my YouTube page to see what I've been doing in this quarantine lifestyle. But on top of that, I have been doing a lot of self-care and self-love things to just kind of help me just remain who I am and not go crazy during these times. So my very first tip, or the first thing I want to talk about, is in order to love yourself or to exude self-love, you have to understand that you are unique. You are one of one. And when God made you, he broke the mold, literally. He did not make another person exactly like you. Now, they always say that everybody has a twin, and somewhere in this world, there's someone who looks exactly like you. And I've been compared to Gina off of Martin, which is Tisha Campbell, but it's a no for me, dog. No. So anywho, although there are people who may look like us, there is no one, and I mean absolutely no one on God's green earth who is you. And once you understand that, I think that can begin your self-love journey. Knowing that the talents you possess, your looks, your features, your qualities, everything about you is unique, and there is not a single person living that has what you have, that can do what you do, and they've been where you've been. There is nothing about what somebody else has done that can be compared to you, because you think differently, you talk differently, you act differently, you respond differently. There's just so much about yourself that is unique. No one else can replicate it. So that's the first thing. Once you understand that, I think you can go a little bit further in life. Now, everyone does not have a relationship with God. So if you don't have a relationship with God, you may not understand the love that he has for us. But if you do have a relationship with God, you understand the love that he has for us, as well as why he has that love for us. And then you can move further in yourself and understand, if he loves me, and he knew me before he even created me or before anyone else even met me, that's a different kind of love. There's a special kind of love there. And then especially knowing that he's not going to leave and or forsake us, knowing that we always have somebody on our side. Like, even though we can't see or touch him, we can feel him and we know that he's there. So that is probably the biggest thing that'll help you realize or help you to cultivate that self-love that you need for yourself. So that's the very first thing, uniqueness and knowing that you were made only you, no one else. The next thing I would say is, because it is quarantine, spending time with yourself is important. You have to be comfortable with yourself. So if you're sitting at home and you need to be around other people, or you need to get out and be in the public, I don't think that's introvert or extrovert reasons. No, I think that for some people, they're not comfortable with themselves, so they can't even sit and enjoy their own company. Me personally, this is not, what we're experiencing now is not much different from what I did on a regular basis. I enjoy my company. I can sit down and laugh with myself. I don't talk to myself, so to speak. Maybe I do. No judgment. Whatever. But there is no uncomfortability when I am with myself. There is absolute peace and calmness because I know me, and I know that I'm not going to anger myself. I know that I can make myself happy. I know that there is peace within me. And I know that quiet time is time for me to brainstorm. It's time for me to be creative. It's time for me to do a lot of things. So once you get comfortable being with yourself and spending time with yourself, you won't feel the need to have to go out and do those things or feel the need to have someone around 24/7. The next thing I would say is to accept yourself and accept your flaws. We all have insecurities. There are things about us that we don't necessarily like or that we wish were different, but once you accept them, it makes it easier for you to love yourself because you know that those things are there for a reason. So the first thing I would say to do with that is to stare in a mirror. Look at yourself in a mirror, in a full body mirror, naked if you need to. If you're not there yet, you can move there. Just how about a bra and panties or just some boxers? But you do have to look at yourself and accept your flaws. I have, and you've heard me talk about this before, but I have had bad skin. I wouldn't say that it was an insecurity. It just was frustrating. So it would not be right. It would not ever get right. I could not get it to get right. And it wasn't until I accepted it. And then I chose to be really, really intentional with fixing it. And it started within me. It started inside me because I had been to dermatologists and I had, you know, I've tried every remedy that anybody could name. And it wasn't until I actually did the work on the inside that my face started to clear up. Accepting your flaws and facing them. And then also within accepting your flaws, feel your feelings, because somebody may say, oh, she's too emotional or he's too sensitive. If that's how you are and that's who you are, accept that and don't apologize for being that way. You have to understand that you are you for a reason, and your chemical imbalance is not the same as someone else's chemical imbalance, because we are all created differently and we all operate differently. So what may work for you may not work for me because our chemical makeup is totally different. Acknowledge your insecurities. Let's just say you're insecure about your facial hair. Maybe your beard does not grow a full-on beard. You have blotches where it's just nothing grows. Or maybe you're a female and maybe you have insecurities with your face because of acne. Accept that you have acne and do what is necessary to fix that situation. There are some extreme measures like going get Accutane, which that was very scary for me. I did not like the side effects of what that. When I saw the side effects, I'm like, suicidal thoughts. I'm not going to sign up to have suicidal thoughts. Although I believe that my mind is strong enough to bypass that. I don't want that to even be an option. So I did not go through with the Accutane. But there are things you can do. You can drink more water. It literally does help your body. Drinking more water. Changing your pillowcases often. Washing your face twice a day or however often you need if you have oily skin, and then moisturizing, and also eating properly and cutting out certain foods in your diet. You have to really be proactive in order to not completely give up on yourself. Like, I didn't give up on my skin. I just knew that I needed to do deeper work. So if you have an insecurity, accept it and then work on it. The next point would be to do what makes you happy. And especially now that we're in quarantine, and you're going to work and then coming straight home, you're not really out lollygagging and hanging out with friends and family. Now is the time to do things that make you happy. Now, outside of quarantine, you still do what makes you happy, but treat yourself how you would want somebody to treat you. So if you like to go out on dates or you like to go out to eat, take yourself out to eat. You like to go to the mall, take yourself to the mall. You like to go and get coffee at a coffee shop, take yourself there. You don't need someone else to take you there. You have to treat yourself like you would want somebody to treat you. And then that falls in line with doing what makes you happy. Let's say, let me give an example. I had a friend a long time ago that I wanted to go to the movies one time. And they were like, nah, I'm not going to the movies. And I'm like, oh, so we're not going to the movies? Bet. And then I went to the movies by myself. I wanted to go with that person, but they didn't want to go. And I still had to be comfortable enough to know how to go to the movies by myself. You cannot base, oh, well, I can't do this in life because this person won't go with me. Oh, I can't do this because... No, treat yourself how you want to be treated and do what makes you happy. If you always wanted to build a desk, and I'm looking at a desk right now that I built myself, but if you've always wanted to build something, do that. If you've always wanted to start sewing, do that. If you've always wanted to be a photographer, do that. Use your cell phone. Great pictures can come from certain cell phones. I'm not saying whether it's iPhone or Android. I'm team Android, but you know, I digress. But do what makes you happy. The next thing is to be selfish. Now, I don't mean this in a jerk or arrogant kind of way. I mean, be selfish. Now, there is definitely a difference between being selfish and selfless. We want to be selfish in these moments of trying to find our self-love aha moment where you learn to love yourself. You have to be selfish. So on top of doing what makes you happy, you have to be able to say no when it's necessary. You have to be able to say, I'm not right now. I need to fix me first before I can help you. Now, you can still help somebody if it's not taken away from what you need to do for yourself. If you're not mentally capable of doing something on a particular day, but yet you force yourself to go and do it to help someone else, you just put yourself aside in order to help someone else when your help was necessary to yourself. I hope that made sense. You needed to help yourself first. How can you give from an empty cup? And we hear that so often, but it's true. How can you give from an empty cup? You have to learn to fill yourself up and then give the world the rest. I hope that makes sense. Once you've learned how to spend time with yourself, accept your flaws and your insecurities, and doing what makes you happy and being selfish, I think the next thing to do is to remind yourself of these things. So the very last thing I would say to do is to affirm yourself so that you don't fall back into the ways that you used to. And affirmations can go in any order at this point. It can go before you spend time with yourself. It can go before you accept your flaws and before you acknowledge your insecurities. It can go before you do what makes you happy. It can go before you're being selfish. It can go before all of that. But affirmations have to be in it. You have to tell yourself, I am beautiful. I am worthy. I am enough. I am lovable. I am loved. I am wanted. I'm needed. And for those of you who have been rocking with me, and if you remember in the Dear Confidence episode, I talked about where my confidence may have come from. And I'm just going to share it again here just because we're talking about self-love. So when I was younger, I remember being 3 or 4 or 5 maybe. And my mom, her friends would always come over and they would tell me how beautiful I was and, oh, you're going to break a whole lot of hearts one day and you're so beautiful and she's so sweet, she's so nice. And I really believe hearing those things shaped me to be the person I am. So I do believe that I'm beautiful. I do believe that I'm a nice person. I'm not going to admit to breaking any hearts or anything like that, but I do believe that those things were implanted in me young so that way it shaped my future. I had that in my mind, oh, she's beautiful. People always tell me I'm beautiful. So there was never a thought in my mind that I was ugly because it was planted in my head so long. Now, granted, on the flip side, if someone had been telling me that I was ugly, I may have potentially grown up to think that I was ugly. But I think that we're all beautifully challenged to someone. But if you are only concerned with you, then you would know that you are a beautiful person inside and out. And I also mentioned one time that I changed something about myself because somebody else had a problem with it. I told you all, I don't remember what episode, I believe it was the confidence episode, but my arms, because I'm a lighter skin tone, my hair sticks out because it's darker than I am. So I have hairy arms. And there was a time in my life when I was younger where someone said, you're so hairy, you need to shave your arms. And so I started shaving my arms. Well, when the hair started to grow back, it grew back thicker. So then it was even more noticeable and it was irritating to me that I was shaving myself to please someone else. And it didn't come until I realized that I have to deal with this. Number one, I don't have a problem with my arms and never did have a problem with my hair. And then now that I've shaved it off, it's growing back thicker. And the person who had a problem with it still does not have to deal with it. All they have to do is look at me. And if they don't like what they see, they can turn around. But that was one instance in life where someone didn't like something about me or had a problem with something about me. I changed it to benefit them, but it was only a hindrance to me. a hindrance because I had to continuously shave myself. And I may have done it maybe 3 or 4 times, shaving my arms. I'm not sure how many times. It wasn't very many, but it was enough that I realized that it was a problem. I should have never done that. But again, we're talking about someone else's opinion affecting the way that I am when I didn't have a problem with it in the first place. I think that I have hit all my topics. Those are my tips. That's not Bible. Those are just my tips. So you can take it, you can utilize it, or you can find someone else giving you better tips than I did. But these are things that kind of helped me. I spent time with myself for a very long time. Still to this day, I spend a lot of alone time. I love my alone time. It is very peaceful. And even when I go on vacations, it's like I can do the 3 to 4 days vacation, maybe 5. I recently did a 7 day. And in my mind, I was like, I'm never around somebody so much. So that's going to be kind of difficult for me to be around someone for 7 days. And I don't have really my alone time, my personal space. It's kind of difficult because I'm used to that. So I survived it. There was no issues. It went by pretty quickly. It was fine. I'm grateful that we did the 7 days because it worked out well. But I definitely missed being alone. I definitely missed my peace and my sanity and my own little world. I miss that. But it's not to the point where I cannot operate with other people. I just do prefer my alone time because I am more so in control of my feelings. No one is there to alter my space or my mood or my demeanor, because let's just say that you're out with somebody and the person that you're out with, they love to start arguments. That can alter your environment and your situation, because this person may initiate something that's going to cause some type of interruption in your life. That, you know, I start going off on a tangent. I was supposed to finish this a long time ago. I think that was just 3 minutes of me going off topic. I think that's it, though. I think that is it. Also, I had a friend who does not even like to look in the mirror. They could not even tell you if they had a mole or a freckle on their face. That's just how much they don't look in the mirror. I know where every pimple, blemish, mole, freckle, scar, birthmark, I know where everything is on my body. I can touch it with my eyes closed, like put my finger on the exact spot, because that's how well I know myself. That's how much I've examined myself. That's how much I paid attention to myself. I know that I have a very, very faint mole on the left side of my lip. I know that I have a very, very faint mole on the top right of my upper lip on my face, like where my mustache is. I know that I have on my left hip, I have a little bump that just, it's been there since forever. I know on my right breast, I have a little mark or something, you know, so there's so much about myself that I know. I can point it out with my eyes closed. Like, I know myself that well. I've accepted my flaws. I've acknowledged my insecurities. And I don't go around shouting to anyone what my insecurities are, but I also know that there's nothing someone can say about me that I'm not already aware of, besides how I treat them. Now, I can think that I have the best intentions for people, but they can tell me, hey, no, you're really an a-hole, or you're really a jerk. And then that's when I have to do some more self-evaluation and dig into myself. But being self-aware allows you to love yourself better, because you know these things, you've accepted these things, and that gives you the time and the place to go ahead on and work on yourself and free yourself of those chains that have given you a bad rep, basically. That's it, you guys. I think that's it. I hope that you all got something from this episode. I hope that everything that I explained came out well. If it did not, I can assure you it's going to be better explained on a blog post. So you can go to sincerelyangiem.com and you'll see that once this episode is up, because I'm going to break it down the same thing I've said, but I'm just going to break it down into words and much more, a little bit more clearer than what I may have said here. Thank you all so much for listening, and stay tuned to the end. You'll hear this. You'll hear it. Just stay tuned. Hey, to all of my online shoppers or anyone looking to rack up some extra bucks, Rakuten, formerly Ebates, is the place for you. If you're shopping online, why not get cash back in the process? And if you're looking to make money on the side, all you have to do is refer a friend. When they spend their very first $25, they'll get $10 free and you'll get paid for referring them. Who doesn't like free money? You can get paid with a big fat check, or you can get paid through PayPal. You can find a link to get started in the show notes, or you can always visit SincerelyAngieM.com under the promo tab. Happy shopping, and let's start racking. P.S. If you made it to the end of this podcast, then you are in for a treat. I don't know if it's a treat or if it's a, I don't know if it's a blessing or a curse, but I was on the phone and I was telling someone that I was getting ready to record an episode and they wanted to be on. So I asked them, what is your definition of self-love? And this is their reply.
Well,
okay.
Well, I don't really watch the porn shit.
What does porn have to do with self-love, though? I'm gonna put you on a podcast. I'm letting you know this now.
You bullshit. I know your ass been on some Pornhub.
Why would I be on Pornhub?
Yeah, you.
What? This is totally not. This has nothing to do with self-love.
You can record me. I don't give a fuck.
I'm glad you said that because I have that recorded. You don't give a F. So I'm glad you said. All right, so I'm about to record. I'll talk to you later. You have a good night.
I'm flabbergasted.
So am I, because I never even put self-love and porn in the same category. I mean, if you're talking a physical sense of love and then with yourself, then yeah, you pleasuring yourself, yeah, but... self-love is not defined by porn, so I gotta... I'm hanging up.
Really?
I am.
I wanna be on.
You what?
I wanna be on.
You had your 5 minutes of fame, and it's... I just...
I was recording. All right. Well, I can see, and you could use me. That's cool.
Bye.
Try.
P.S.S. As you may have heard, throughout that whole 2-3 minute encounter, my mouth was open. I was not expecting that response. I could not process it. I guess that makes me a bad interviewer because I did not know how to come back from that. I did not know how to comprehend what was being said. And then later on, the next day or so, whenever I talked to them again, they said that they were just playing. They didn't think that it was that serious because I was like, I recorded that night, but I could not bounce back after that encounter. Like, I recorded it, and then I thought about it. I'm like, I don't even feel like my spirit was right in that episode. So I didn't air it, and I re-recorded it. And what you heard before the PS segment is... what was recorded days later, because I could not put out what I put out before because it just was not together. So yeah.